Division I FCS coaches poll came out this week. North Dakota State number one, South Dakota State number 10. Two other teams in the top 25 in the coaches poll from the Missouri Valley Football Conference. And the Mo Valley Football Conference came out with their preseason poll a week ago, and South Dakota was ranked eighth in the league. And joining us, Mick Gary, Argus leader, follows the Coyotes. You expecting the Coyotes to be right around number eight in that poll, weren't you, Mick?
I think I put them seventh or sixth. Mm-hmm. Might have been seventh. Anyway, you know, it's that kind of league, I think, where you got, you have NDSU and UNI and SDSU. You kind of can expect, I think, those teams to be up at the top. And then everyone else is probably better than they were a year ago. So, you know, as much as you can look at what the Coyotes have coming back and reasons to think that they're going to be a better team this year, you know, you can say that about every team in the conference.
Sure.
And, you know, there's not a – that number eight, I think it looks a little jarring, and I'm sure that, you know, talking to Joe Glenn, he wants to use that as much as he can as a motivating tool this year, and if any type of football coach, that's what you would do. But they're probably, I mean, the difference – in that league between the fourth place team and the eighth place team is probably, you know, three or four plays by the end of the year. And in a league like that where the worst team isn't very bad and all the middle teams are extremely even, you just kind of got to fight it out. You got to win a couple that maybe you shouldn't have won. And all of a sudden you're 5-3 instead of 3-5. And you can tell everybody, how, you know, what a much better team you are.
Yeah, that's true. By the way, Monday we'll be up in Brookings for SDSU Fall Media Day. Next Tuesday we'll be in Vermilion for USD's Fall Media Day. So we'll talk a lot about that next week. What is the biggest strength right now, USD football?
I would say the fact that you have that whole offense is pretty much back. You got the lineman, all but the center. Cody O'Neill's the only guy that left the offensive line. And you got a quarterback who seemed to be kind of on the rise last year, who's back as a junior. You got a backfield that should be deeper and probably better than last year. So that offense, I think they're expecting some big things out of it. Perhaps not every game, perhaps not that first game against Oregon, but overall, I think they're pretty optimistic that they're going to be able to get that offense rolling. You know, in a lot of their conference games.
How does the team, I know when they made the change from Josh Vandermotten to Kevin Earle, I mean, things just seem different offensively. How about in terms of the swagger and the confidence? Is the team that much different with Kevin Earle than it was with Josh?
Well, it was kind of weird last year because obviously they changed the offense, and that was, I think, one of the reasons that they were a little hesitant to make a switch right away because they are different quarterbacks and they have to play, you know, a different offense than they had if they have Kevin Earle in there, who's kind of a stand-up passer, although not too bad a runner. And Josh Vandermatten, who's an extremely strong runner but struggled a little bit with throwing the ball around. So once they made the switch, they became a little bit more of a passing team. But what happened then after that was that their running backs got hurt, where they were down to basically no running backs. They had Rand Vandermotten in the backfield
yeah.
a couple of those games there toward the end.
That
and even against SDSU, they really didn't have a running back, and NDSU was kind of the same way there. So they really had to depend on Kevin Earle in those games, and perhaps he learned some things, but I think the fact that they had to depend on him made his job much more difficult and was reflected maybe in the end of the season. They had to play some very good teams, too, in that time.
Did you catch Tatler Star last night? HBO, Hard Knocks, Atlanta Falcons?
I have not. I've read about it today, and it sounds like he's going to be kind of one of the people that program follow around and follow his story anyway. And they did, you know, take the time to interview him or show him in working out in Vermilion. And so it's an interesting part of it, and it's an easy thing. I mean, if you were doing a chronicle of the Atlanta Falcons this year, I know there's a lot of interesting stories, but when there's a seventh-round pick from a town of 450 people went to a little college, comparatively little college,
mm-hmm.
That's a great story there, potentially a great story. And so I can really understand why they decided that this, you know, delving a little bit into Tyler's story is worth their time.
Hey, by the way, the KC Smoker, give it. When's the date for you to host the?
August 20th. Wednesday, August 20th.
Couple of weeks from tonight.
Yeah, we'll be. I may give you the opportunity to give away some tickets for that.
Wow.
It's a big deal. But it's a blast every year, and it has the area high school coaches and college coaches, and I'll be talking about it a little bit more.
Yeah.
As the event draws
nigh. I'll send you a couple of jokes over in case you want to use them for
Have this 7 second
delay on that. We will promote it more because it's one of the great events at Sioux Falls. And
I appreciate you bringing it up.
And Mick gets to host that event again Wednesday, August 20th. We'll talk more about it then. All righty, Mick. Hey, have a great weekend, pal. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Mick Gary from the Argus Leader.